This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting across from secret Tour de France rider Michael Goudeau. And we're here on the free FM, 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, pennradio@gmail.com, pennradio.com. And I want to talk about this front page of the New York Times today, and the front page everywhere, and the big thing on Google is this paralyzed man who uses his thoughts to move a cursor. Paralyzed guy. He was paralyzed in a he was at a football game. There was a melee that broke out, and a guy stabbed him in the neck, and he's paralyzed from the shoulders down. And they've got this guy. I guess his name is Mr. Noggle. Noggle? Sure. N-A-G-L-E, say Noggle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Nagel.
Nagel. He's 26 years old. They drilled a hole in his head and put a little fifth of an inch by fifth of an inch chip with 100 receivers on it right into the part of his brain that controls the motor functions. Mm-hmm. And now he's able to answer his email and move a cursor around the screen, and he can move a robotic arm. And because God is kind, he can also play Pong. So he's sitting there playing Pong without having to move his arms or legs or anything. And I think this is a great thing. I think it's just fabulous. There's a lot of problems with this particular version. This is not the version you want. First of all, you kind of want it wireless.
You don't want 1.0 of anything.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a hole in his head. It's not wireless. He's got a hole in his head. That means it could be an infection. They have to calibrate it for a half an hour every day. Which is a pretty big deal. And he has to have a whole research team. So really, if you're going to have a robotic arm, and it takes the research team a half an hour to do it, couldn't you say to the research team, please do this for me, please touch me there, I don't want to bother moving the robotic arm, could you please take care of this for me? What I want to talk about today is when this stuff gets to healthy people. I want people to call up and tell us when they think that we'll be having implants in our brains and healthy people or new knees.
$6 million man stuff.
Yeah, $6 million man. How close are we now? Are we just knocking on it? I mean, is this going to happen? And I want to find out if there's anybody. And I think we've weeded out a lot of people. You know, we've been doing this show for a while, and we have been weeding out people that. That have different points of view from us. You ever notice that? When we first started, people called up and said, you're crazy, this is wrong. And now people call up, and everybody seems to be, at least from my point of view, the nut point of view, fairly sensible. But I wonder if there's going to be any sort of outrage about you're not supposed to mix man and machine. Because this will be really cool. I mean, to not have a keyboard, not have anything, just be able to think stuff and have it happen. I was told by some guys at MIT a while ago, and I, you know, If this had been available, I would have done this for Moxie and Zoltan, my two kids, in a moment. But they said that when kids are moving around, early stage, this is me talking about childhood development, which I know nothing about. 866-570-PEN, 7366. I'm going to be talking about this this guy with a computer chip in his head doing stuff. I'll be making a lot of mistakes in what I'm saying because I don't know what I'm talking about. Call up and correct me. Also talk about what you would like have. What would you like to have implanted in your head? If this becomes an accessory, call us up and tell us what would you like to control with your brain. What would you like to just think and have happen? This guy, the paralyzed guy, can turn up and down the TV, the volume, and he can change the channel just by thinking.
That's
and
pretty good.
I have found that when I'm watching TV, a lot of energy is wasted on monkeying with the remote. I think if that could just be a remote thing in my head, that I would do absolutely fine.
Well, somebody could just get all of your systems under one remote that worked really simply. That might work just as well.
No, I want to have it in my head.
Okay.
I want things inside my head. But this guy at MIT was explaining to me. I don't even know if he was just a guy at MIT. I don't know if he was affiliated. I was in the building at MIT. There was a guy there.
He's and cleaning the floor.
He didn't have any job as far as I could tell. He was just a guy at MIT. He was telling me that when kids move around, like early on, like my son is 7 weeks old and weighs 18 pounds. the biggest kid in the world. He really looks like Tor Johnson. You know, if Tor Johnson weren't dead, I would think that that the guy from Plan 9 from Outer Space was the father of my child. But, you know, that may be the realization I have to accept, is that I look more like Tor Johnson than I'd like to admit. Maybe I look a lot like Tor Johnson. Maybe
and a little like Andre the Giant.
I think that all that separates me from Tor Johnson is a haircut. Maybe shave my head, I could walk around with my eyes up like that. But he looks like Tor Johnson naturally. And also his hair's falling out. He's 7 weeks old. He has male pattern baldness. But I was told that when the kids are moving around like that, that they're attaching, they're figuring out what neurons do what, and what nerves do what controls what in the body. And that the way we are wired with God and his infinite wisdom is just puts big bundles of nerves through. Mm-hmm. And that whole thing of twitching and moving and stuff like that is developing those nerves, deciding which will do what as you kind of go through kind of half shot. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
If you're kind of half-assed. And that's why if you learn
beta testing.
If you learn a skill like juggling or baseball or violin, I guess those are the only three. If you learn it before you're 12, then you actually have different wiring than other people. Did you know this?
I did not know that.
Yeah, if you learn to pitch a ball seriously, if you're a pitcher at like 10 years old, and they test you, you'll actually have more control over your right arm than someone who didn't learn that skill. There'll actually be more information running, which is why learning skills after 12, certain skills you can never get as good. Because you haven't got the tools actually change. So one of the things this guy at MIT, who, as I said, I think was delivering Jack in the Box food there, said was, if you put a little chip in that big bundle of neurons, and just hooked it up to a lamp and a few other things, as the kid would move his fingers, he or she would also learn to flash on and off the lamp and learn what that would feel like in their head. Because you're not... When you're first born, you're not just able to go, this moves my arm. You have to sort it out. So we have extra nerves. We could run this thing in here. It's possible. I just made that up, but someone will tell us. But let's take. I also want to get to how your Tour de France is doing.
All right.
People are getting zillions of Gmails asking exactly how you're doing on the Tour de France.
Yeah. It's a six-hour day today.
A six-hour day. It's going to kill you. People, I was at dinner last night.
Let's just stay on the radio all day and forget the Tour de France.
People were saying it wasn't a big deal what you were doing.
Yeah.
If the distance didn't matter, it was just time, and if the speed and the hills didn't matter, that what you were doing was no
sure,
big deal.
Sure.
That's what they were saying. Well, this is Jason Garfield.
Of course.
In very good shape. So.
Yeah, and who, of course, hates me. So
exactly, because you make more money with less skill.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk to Ryan. Sure. Let's talk to Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
Never better, boss. How are you?
Awesome. Come on, this crazy chips in the brain thing.
Yeah, what about it? That seems fine.
I mean, I think for the paralyzed guys and for people who have been injured, I think it's probably the most awesome technology. It's about time we do stuff and politics be damned, and it's time to help people out.
Sure.
But I think when you get into talking about customizing your home entertainment system by putting chips in your head, that kind of freaks me out.
Why can't, what is the difference with technology if it's outside your body or inside? I mean, how long is it going to be before people who want to run are going to put in artificial knees when they don't need them? I mean, don't you want to upgrade everything you got? I mean, when you don't you want to trick out your body?
I don't know if I'd want to do it. One, I think it opens too many doors for like Big Brother to be tracking you. I mean,
no.
I don't know.
I always think that. I guess I can just say this because people will just jump at me for it, but I really think technology is always good. I think you could always do cool stuff with it. Yes, there's a downside, but for the most part. I want to be tracked. I would have no problem having a chip in me that, you know, my wife and kids could know where I was at all times. I'm not bothered by that. And the government is all, you just keep the government so small. You get the government down as tiny as it can be, and then we can do anything we want with technology. You wouldn't want to be able to adjust your refrigerator with your mind?
I don't weigh 600 pounds because I'm sitting on it. Now, if you can make that chip also help me work out just sitting... That's not doing anything. That'd be great. Still.
Well, that's my big fiendish plan. What I want is to have a chip that will go through and move all the muscles of your body while you're sleeping.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be terrific?
That too, then the laziness factor that the chip would create would be alleviated.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's like you wake up and you go, oh, and you look at the readout from your computer and it says you did 500 push-ups, you ran 10 miles, you did all this stuff, and all while you're just cozily asleep. So you wake up just simmering in your own sweaty funk because you've worked out all night.
This could be the cure to all of society's problems then.
Yeah, and once again, I want to tell you, who thought of it? Penn Jillette. That's what I want you to remember. When all of society's problems are solved, I want you to remember that I get credit for it. Now, I had nothing to do with this article. What I did to save humanity was read most of an article in the New York Times. I did not even read the whole thing. Probably on the last paragraph it says, just kidding, Penn, you idiot. Read all the way to the end. You're not Dennis Miller. You can't just read one paragraph, do a joke, and be done. But I do not think it's crazy. I think I'm all for it. How long, if you could get an operation, I'm still with Ryan. Don't hang up on him yet. Ryan, if you could get an operation that was, you know, mostly safe, that could increase your vision so that you could, like, count the hairs on your cat from across the room, and that's not a euphemism. I actually mean count the hairs on your cat from across the room. If you could improve your eyesight tremendously with an operation, would you do it?
Considering that right now I'm already wearing glasses, probably I probably would.
I think we should be able to do any sort of hardware changes on our body we want. I mean, we should be able to do anything.
You can already do that surgery, by the way.
Well, yeah, they do
10/20.
You do 10/20, yeah. And are they doing that on people that have perfect eyesight before that?
I don't think they're doing it on people with perfect eyesight, but they're doing it on people with bad eyesight.
Yeah, that's the big change I want to see. Thanks a lot, Ryan. You had your finger itching over that button, so I wanted to give you permission to hang up on him. I think that that's the next step. Has that been done? What I want to know, and I haven't been able to find this anywhere, has anyone gotten surgery who was completely healthy, right up to normal, gotten surgery to be better than that? I mean, there's always
already
been rumors.
Had 2020 and then got it to 2010.
Yeah, there's been rumors that Tiger Woods did that. You notice that S was kind of weak. It is Tiger Woods, isn't it? Tiger Woods. I think there were rumors all over that Tiger Woods got his eyes done, so he had better.
I
hope he did too. But I want to know: has anybody gotten a knee in when they didn't need it just for cool? You know, because I believe that body modifications are starting. I mean, I think that when you see the kids, by kids, of course, I mean people 40, with the nose rings and all the rings there, and you've seen those. You know my friend Enigma.
Yeah.
You know, Enigma, it's all tattooed head to toe. He's tattooed blue. And he has silicone horns on his head. He has horns under his skin. So he has real horns. And it was a really great conversation because I said, who does this surgery for you? And he says, he's a guy in Texas. He's not a doctor, but he's really interested in medicine.
That's me.
And what he wanted to do, he has silicone implants under his head. But he wanted to get them turned to coral because he was under the belief, and I don't believe this is true, but it's something that one nut told me another nut that he'd heard from yet a third nut. So this is just nuts making stuff up. But he said that coral attached to the bone would actually grow out into the coral so that when he was dead, it would look as though he was born with real horns on his head. And we were backstage at Sin City Spectacular, the Penn & Teller show we did several years ago. Dickie Smothers was on. It was Dickie Smothers and Enigma were both on the show. And Dickie Smothers and Enigma were chatting about this, and Enigma, all blue with horns in his head, said to Dick Smothers, one of the greatest straight men of all time, he said, when I was dead and buried for like 500 years, they would dig me up and it wouldn't be silicone. It would actually be my own bone grown into the horns. So it would be like this fabulous joke that I created this devil man from our time. And Dick Smothers paused for a long time and said, well, I guess if a joke's that good, you don't have to be around for the punchline. Let's take, who do we want to talk to here? Let's talk to Paul. Let's talk to Paul.
Okay.
How you doing, Paul?
Oh, not too bad. How are my two favorite jugglers?
We're doing very well, thank you. Talk about damning with faint praise. But go ahead. What's up?
You want crazy? I got your crazy for you right here. Up here in Canada, they're looking at putting chips into people with all their medical information on them.
Yeah. They already do that with pets, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dogs don't have them, but, I mean, yeah, they do them for pets and everything. For if they get lost, they can return them. But
yeah.
I think the government putting a chip into you with all your information on it's a really bad idea.
Well, talk about that some more, because I'm on both sides of this one.
Yeah, I agree with you with the upgrades. If you're doing them voluntarily, that's cool. But yeah. If you've got the government putting information on you so they can keep tabs on you...
But the way you said,
well,
you explained, and listen, I will never be sticking up for Canada's health care system. You won't hear that very often.
Oh, me either.
But if you are going into, I find that keeping track of, you know, I'm 50, what am I, 51?
Something.
51 years old. I have so many, like, medical things. Keeping track of them and having that, like, in my wallet and in my PDA and stuff is difficult. Having a little chip under my skin that said, you know, this schmuck has high blood pressure, you know, all the other stuff that's wrong with me. He's, you know, he's allergic to Compazine, although they never use that anymore. but, boy, Compazine makes me very anxious.
Uh-huh.
And all that stuff. I think that's a pretty good idea. What you've said, though, is the government is thinking of doing it. And... any good idea done by the government instantly becomes a bad idea.
I agree. If government's the answer, is a stupid question to begin with.
So do you live up in Canada?
Yeah, I'm in Edmonton.
Oh, really? So you're in real Canada. And are you originally from Canada? Or did you go up there to avoid something?
No, born and raised.
You're not a bank robber or anything?
No.
But they're talking about putting... where are they talking about putting them? What part of the body?
I believe it would just be under the skin somewhere, probably the neck or something like that. I'm not sure exactly where they're looking putting, but it would just be under the skin.
So you don't know where it is, you just made up neck?
That's where I heard it suggested.
Okay, good. I just want to know if you just totally made that up. Because if I had to make up a part of my body, I'd make up a different part than neck, just so you know.
Fair enough.
Because then you could change the size of your medical records, so they'd be easier to read. But
yeah, my issue is access to you. They can't really guarantee who's going to have access to this information.
Exactly, yeah.
So you could somebody else can get it.
So you could have people walking up with you like a little wand just touching your neck and going, stupid-ass diabetic. They could just grab it out of your neck.
Or, yeah, this guy has AIDS or something like that. Like something that people probably don't want everybody to know.
Right.
Be all pink and hanging out there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, once again, we come down to I like all this stuff being done, but not by the government. Would you want Paul to have a chip that you could just pay for stuff? Would you like to have your credit card in under your skin?
Depending on who is administering and the security of it, yeah, I'd go for that.
Yeah, I think it'd be a pretty cool thing. I would love to just be able to walk through a checkout line, just put my wrist down and have it, or my neck, put my neck down on the thing and have it read. But thanks a lot, Ryan. We're going to go to break. This is Penn Jillette talking about the future. 866-570-PEN-7366. I must have said something wrong. Call up and correct me. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette sitting here with Secret Tour de France writer Michael Goudeau. We're just chatting it up, 866-570-PEN-7366. If you want to join us, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. That groovy jazz music you're hearing is the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra. If you go to PennRadio.com, remember Penn is with two N's when you're talking about me, PennRadio.com. You can go there and go to Jones Jazz and find out all sorts of groovy stuff about the world's greatest bebop solo piano player. Find out all about Mike Jones. How long are you going to ride today? For those of you who don't know, and I know that many of you don't listen to the show every day, so those of you just listening today, Michael Goudeau is riding the Tour de France, but nobody in the Tour de France knows it.
That's right.
He's riding in his living room.
I skipped the touring and the France part. I'm doing just the duh.
he's sitting on a recumbent bicycle, and he is riding for the amount of time that the fastest
the
time
winner
is.
Of each stage rides, yeah.
So a lot of people are saying this is no big deal because the distance is what matters,
yeah,
of course,
sure.
And the speed uh-huh. and distance. You've eliminated speed and distance, and you just have time. So with the Michael Goudeau theory, you could just ride 3 miles a day, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not, but...
do you coast at all?
No. I'm riding about 9 to 10 miles an hour.
No, 9 to 10 miles an hour, yeah. And you're riding... So how long are you going to do today?
6 hours and 6 minutes is the winning time.
Now, you have a wife...
I do.
And two children and at least two jobs, right?
And they've been very kind about this, yes.
Have your jobs been that kind? What is
no,
Lance
jobs
thinking
of it? Lance has been fine with it, other than the really terrible unicycle fall.
Did he say anything about
that? No, he didn't say anything about it.
He just kind of looked at you.
Yeah,
askance.
Rolled his eyes.
Yeah. He's rolled his
as
eyes.
As well he should.
You. He's rolled his eyes at you before that, hasn't he?
He has. I want to thank the two Tour de France riders yesterday who had a big breakout and finished 9 minutes ahead of the pack, because that's when I got to stop. So, you know, at 4 minutes and 4 hours and 50 minutes, I was happy to take 9 minutes off.
And for those of you just tuned in, we're talking about, you know, there's this front page article everywhere about the paralyzed guy who's using his thoughts to move a cursor. They get a little chip in his head, and he can turn on the TV, turn it down. You know, those are the ones I do first. You know,
I noticed
that. And here they have, like, you know, all the other stuff he can do. Turn up and down the TV without using his arms and legs. Now, I consider that a good thing. Although the guy probably thinks he'd rather have his arms and legs back.
Yeah, man.
He was knifed in the neck. And people are calling up, and it's kind of a broad topic today. I'm in kind of a mellow mood. So you could easily shift me from one thing to another. We're talking about modifications of the body, serious body modifications when you don't, quote, need them. Which, of course, goes to the same subject we're always talking about, which is playing God, and we're all for it. You know, would you get artificial knees if your knees were fine just to make them better? If you had 20/20 vision, would you get an eye operation to go to 20/10 or 20/5? Let's talk to David here. How you doing, David?
Oops, I had him. Sorry, there he goes.
David, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing, man? What's up?
I'm doing good. You guys keep talking about the medical benefits and all this, but what about just for purely fun? How about putting a jack into your head, going into a computer, and playing video games?
I could not agree with you more. If you think we're just talking about medical needs, you are sorely mistaken, David. We are talking about medical needs just to keep the show from going absolutely insane. Because all we are talking about, David, is fun. There's nothing else that we're about but fun. How much would you let them hollow out your brain to put in something that would give you fun?
That's I don't need my brain. I really use it.
So you would much rather play video games, is that right?
I would, if they can just get rid of the rest of my body and I could be a floating head in a jar hooked into a video game for the rest of my life, I'd be fine with that.
What games do you play, man? See, I'm not a video game guy. The reason is I'm not a game guy, you know? I don't like games really very much at all, but tell me what games you play.
I enjoy first-person shooter, MMORPGs, anything like that, really.
But mostly kind of shoot 'em up, bang bang stuff.
Action adventure. I'll take anything, really. I really tend to go more towards role playing games, though.
Uh-huh. So, what are you? Are you a little dancing fairy in your role playing games? Or what do you? What character do you have?
No dancing fairies. Give me a little credit at least. No,
I don't know. Dancing fairies can be very, very frightening.
I've never seen one that frightened me, but
okay.
If you had
a jack in your head, it might frighten you.
What are the characters you take on, the personalities?
Well, there's a game out there called World of Warcraft, which I'm on right now, and there's two sides. There's the Alliance and the Horde. Obviously, I play the Horde, which is trolls and orcs and stuff.
Uh-huh. And so do you have a specific character that you've created that is your alter ego, your totem, as it were?
No, I play several. I just jump around a lot.
So you, in this particular world of gaming, you're seriously schizophrenic, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you,
a lot
you
of
put
different
a,
characters.
How much would you spend right now, cash in the barrel head, to put a jack in your head so you could play video games just out of your brain?
I don't have much in my account. I got about $5, so I'd have to go with that.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks so much, David. Thanks a lot. I want to go with Charlie, because maybe you can tell us something about this.
Okay.
Hey, Charlie, what's up, man?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Never better, boss.
Good. Listen, I'm listening. It's a pretty good topic. I'm thinking I've had laser eye surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really need it, but, I've worn glasses all my life. And it's a great thing. I mean, I think it's an incredible surgery they do. It's pretty much painless. My eyesight is perfect right now.
Is it 20/20 or is it better than 20/20? Is it 20/10 or something?
20/20 right now.
Yeah.
Which was great because my eyesight was horrible. I was pretty much without my eyeglasses, I'd be walking into walls.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to, like, doing it when you don't need it, and like I said, I really didn't need it because I could see fine with glasses, but I think people with perfect eyesight, it's a pretty risky surgery in any event, you know?
Sure.
Like people, you know, like you were speaking about Tiger Woods doing it. I don't know if he did. That's a pretty big risk.
spend his career to, like, risk losing his eyesight to gain a little bit that he gained over a 20/20 eyesight.
But what,
you
are,
know?
The, what are the what are the, do you know the numbers on this, Goodell, from laser eye surgery? How many people go blind from laser eye surgery?
It's really low. It's,
I think it's
crazy,
really low.
Safe.
And it's also, they do it one at a time too. So,
well, actually, I had both eyes done in one procedure.
Oh, you did.
I think the risk is fairly low. I don't think there's, like, you know, people getting their eyes gouged out every other day. I think it's generally, you know, you'll get the guys who will take patients who really aren't candidates, and things can happen. But it's like any elective surgery, I guess. You know, there are risks involved. But I think the majority of people see good results. Everyone I know who's had it done had great results, which is why I went ahead with it.
And you know, you had yours done at like Bob's Bait Shop
I
laser
did.
Eye surgery.
It was
surgery.
A dollar. Bob himself did it, and it was great. I had 20/20.
Try to find a discount rate. They're like, you know, they want to know how much you paid for it. I'm like, well, it's your eyeballs. You know, I'm not really looking for the guy who has an eye, you know?
Well, Goodell did go with the cheapest. Is there anybody
the
cheaper than your guy?
No, there wasn't at the time. No.
So Goodell really did bargain shop for his eyes. That's the kind of guy I'm sitting across from there. But thanks a lot, Charlie. Thanks a lot for laying that on us. See, you went to you, it was insane. Why did you do that?
Because they're using the same equipment. It's the same. It's,
yeah, but it's a different guy.
Well, it's a different guy, but it's still a trained surgeon. And what the guy that I went to does is work at night. He rents the studio that the guy who does it during the day.
Studio?
The studio, yeah. The, you know.
Studio? He goes to
perhaps studio is not the proper word.
Okay.
He has the same machines, the same equipment, it's the same staff.
But he works at night?
It's he like works at night. You know, so that
fly
the machine,
by night,
so the machine
laser
is running.
Surgery?
Fly by night laser surgery, yeah. And it turned out perfectly.
Yeah, but you still had your glasses on to read.
Well, yeah, now I'm over 40, like everybody else is 43. I can no longer read.
Yeah, so
but I'm calling the guy. The guy and I have become friends since then. I'm trying to find out if there is a good presbyopia surgery yet. That's
you just said that presbyopia like you knew that
like
word.
I knew it word, yeah, yeah. I know, I do.
But that's, and but, you know, for me, I have really bad eyes.
Right.
And I'm also wearing, not bifocals, but what is it called? Graduated.
Yeah, sure.
And so I'd have to have glasses around to read anyway.
Yes.
So why not just keep them on my head? Do you ever lose your glasses?
Yeah, but I have 800 of them because the reading glasses are a dollar.
Okay.
Sam's Club, I can get a crate of 100 of them for 30 bucks. They're in every drawer of my house.
Yeah. And what if you had any elective surgery you could get now, what would you get, Goodell?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would actually improve my vision. I would go to a 20/10 if I could.
You would?
I think that's great.
Yeah. And you'd take the gamble with Bob again?
I would take
again?
That gamble with Bob again, yeah.
Let's talk to Russ.
Sure.
What's up, Russ?
Hey, how you doing?
Never met a boss. How are you?
Good. Just want to say I'm a big fan. I got that DVD from you with the signed DVD.
Oh, cool.
Aristocrats.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you liked
it. Great.
Are you enjoying
great
it?
DVD.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Thanks.
I think Bob Saget was hilarious on that.
He's great, isn't he? Bob's great. So what's up?
With the whole, with the computer chip in the brain to control the cortex, like the one guy was saying with the gaming,
yeah,
the whole gaming
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, sure.
I was saying just bypass plugging into a computer and you just, like I was saying, like, to further on that, you just hook up to the optic nerves and you just close your eyes. And since your brain's pretty much a computer,
uh-huh.
you just run your game right there. I mean, even if you, the Wi-Fi's the big thing right now and it's currently getting smaller and smaller, you could just hook that up and you could do emails, search the internet with your eyes closed, just everything in your mind.
Yes. So you're not just talking about dropping acid and closing your eyes, are you? But it's also just, you're talking about thinking, aren't you? If you don't have a connection to the outside world and you don't have another computer and you're just closing your eyes, you can do that at any time at all. You can just sit in your chair and think.
You probably
well, like,
chip.
I mean, but like, to put it, you're thinking into like a restricted, like a game
mm-hmm.
where you could interact with other people or something like that.
So you'd get a Wi-Fi in your head, and then just have the. See, this is the part I don't know. I think the output is going to be really difficult on this. It's going to be really hard to send stuff into your brain that you can see, like some sort of screen. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
It's too hard for me to do. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is just far fetched off that one guy's idea. I was just throwing it out.
Good idea, Russ. Good idea. You know, it's so much easier to be able to think of ideas you'd like to have done when you're going to do. anything about it.
Yeah.
You'd be able to make this stuff up is great. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Russ. I cut you off a little bit there, Russ, because we're going into a break. We're back after this talking about body modifications you don't need. 866-570-PEN. That's 736-er-6-er. That's Mike Jones playing the piano alone because no one can keep up with him. I can't even snap my fingers to this one. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. If you wonder why Penn is in all those things I just gave you out, my name is Penn. This is Penn Jillette, the big one in Penn and Teller. You know, the guy who talks in Penn and Teller. That's me. And I'm sitting here with secret Tour de France rider Michael Goudeau, who's looking at 6 hours and 6 minutes today.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day.
You might as well just bicycle right from my house home and then back to work with Lance, right?
Yeah, except that it's 115 degrees outside.
Oh, yeah. I guess
I couldn't possibly carry enough water.
Well, there is. It's not like, and this is the thing I wonder about carrying water around with you. People act like they carry these bottles of water with them. There's no water. You can get water everywhere. Anywhere you go, there's water. Any 7-Eleven, any place, they got water.
You got to stop your bike and get off.
Okay, you're right. You're not allowed to do that.
I only got 6 hours now.
6 hours. 6 hours and 6 minutes.
It's only 6 hours now.
I don't really know what we're talking about here. We're talking about this guy who got a chip in his head to move a cursor. And, you know, this stuff happens really quickly. Like, you know, in 1987, you know, 300 baud was fast, you know. And now, just 20 years later, the whole internet, the whole web, all that stuff happens. So now that we got one guy, actually there's a few, they're testing five, I guess, with a chip in his head that can move stuff around, it's going to go very fast. We're going to have chips that do all sorts of stuff.
Well, I like what somebody wrote in, is that in one of the old, in the original Star Trek episode, in the pilot, Commander Pike, and was able to turn on a yes and no light.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So we're already past
we're
Star
past
Trek.
We're past that.
Past Star Trek.
We didn't have the ship, but...
We get all the little stuff. Here's a letter on this, you know, from Wile E. Coyote. that's who wrote it, Wile E. Coyote. I want the chip that people have talked about since I was a kid almost 30 years ago. A chip in my brain that would contain the entire contents of the Library of Congress. All you have to do is think a question, the chip would spit out the info into your brain. Well, Google is certainly doing their part in organizing it. Want to quote Shakespeare? Want to make sure your doctor is right with his diagnosis? Want to know how to jump your car? Just think the question, the answer will appear in your brain. Of course, your brain still has to understand the info, so stupid people would still be stupid people. Just able to spit out trivia they don't understand, that's me, and smart people would be constantly trying to understand new information as they walk around thinking questions about everything they see. That's a beautiful view for the... As long as stupid people say stupid, because it's very important for the smart people to be able to laugh at us. You know, it's very, very important.
We have another good one here that regarding surgical improvements that were not medically required. Pam Anderson, Jenny McCartney, Carmen Electra.
Sure.
You know.
Those are medically required.
Those are
yeah, because no one would talk to them if not for those.
Yeah.
Let's take Carrie. Let's talk to Carrie.
Sure.
What's up, Carrie?
Oh, I just was reading Mark Twain, and he said that if we have the government do things for us, he says that's the definition of eternity, or government programs that don't work.
Yeah, perpetual motion.
I just thought I'd share that with
okay,
you.
Okay, thanks so much. Thank you so much, Gary. Thanks so much. Let's try Mike. Mike's been here a while. Don't want to make him wait too long. What's up, Mike?
Not too much. I was just going to mention while you're on chips that in Mexico, in the government buildings now, they have replaced security cards with chips inserted into people's bodies so that they can't be stolen. They only get access if they have the chip in their body.
Are they really doing that now? Is that really happening?
Yeah, that's actually happening now in Mexico.
I know they're doing pretty cool stuff with biometrics, you know, like fingerprints and retina scans and so on. But they're actually putting a chip in. What part of the body? This is the part I'm really interested in. What part of the body do they do the chip?
They're doing that in just the arms, and it's about the size of a grain of rice.
Uh-huh.
And is so it, just put it under the skin.
Is it set up so that if it's popped out of the skin, it doesn't work or something? That's the safety I'd want. Otherwise, you're just going to be digging into people with a trowel.
It's going to be an ugly. It's going to be like an Alias. Yeah. They're going to knock you out and cut your arm open, steal your chip.
Yeah, so
I think you're going to notice.
I know that you'd notice, but I mean, is there some way that it automatically doesn't work? That's what I'd want. That's what I. Because they can still put a gun to your head, but then you'd be a guy walking in with another guy with a gun to your head. So they have to kidnap your children like Firewall. That's what they'd have to do. But I'm about the size of a grain of rice. Yeah, I'm all for that.
That's what they're doing into the pets, a little transponder.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm totally for that. Thank you so much for calling, Mike, and thanks for hanging in so long. That's a great thing. I would love to be able to go anywhere and prove I was me, you know, because this ID thing is insane. And I don't want to do cliche jokes, but I have stood at the Reno airport in front of a 20-foot billboard of me and stood in front of there, and the guy says to me, "Penn, could I have your autograph?" Behind me is a picture of me, much too big. This big, fat, hairy face hanging out there in the Reno airport. And the guy looks at me and says, "Could I see some picture ID?" So I think I would like a little grain of rice right in my wrist. Wrist or arm? I put it anywhere.
Shoot into his eye?
Yeah. And say, I got your picture ID hanging, bro. Let's talk to Anthony.
Okay.
What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Penn. How you doing, pal?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
Sounds good. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Good.
Listen, forget about all the medical stuff. I want a chip implanted in my head that makes me visualize things in the best way possible.
Uh-huh.
Let me give you an example.
Please do.
I go to a club this weekend.
Uh-huh.
3 a.m, I pick up a real fat, ugly chick.
Uh-huh.
She's a 10. I'm going home with a 10.
This, you're not talking about technology. You're talking about pitch meetings for Farley Brothers movies.
Or alcohol.
Actually, I do that right now with alcohol, but, you know. That's wrong, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Eddie. He was kind of self-limiting. He knew what he wanted to say, then he hung up. Are we got the only radio show in the world where people hang up on us?
I think so.
They call up, they state their piece, they go away. Let's talk to CJ.
Sure.
What's up, CJ?
Hey, how you doing?
Never better, boss. How are you?
All right. Hey, you're talking about planting a chip in your head and having it, affect your nerves. You can move a cursor. Maybe you can train your nerves like those young children do. Maybe if I want to play guitar better. I can have that skill set kind of downloaded into me.
But isn't part of playing guitar trying to tell somebody something about your heart and what you're thinking? I mean, if you play just like Steve Vai, why do we need you when we have Steve Vai?
Sure, absolutely. I guess that would be a danger. You'd lose the necessary effort and time to put in to learn something. But also, let's say I'm in the military.
Uh-huh.
If they had something where we could, become better marksmen or... train our bodies to perform certain duties better, more quickly. That would be quite an advantage.
I guess so. I have no idea where that's going to go with skill sets and stuff. We usually think about improvements in the brain as being information, but it could also be a skill. You know, as Emo Phillips said, what is the exact quote? I always thought the brain was my favorite, most important organ in the body until I realized who was telling me that. it ties in with that Emo Phillips joke. Thanks a lot for calling in here. Let's talk to Andrea. Just because, if you call this show and you have a woman, you're much, much better chance if you're a woman of getting on because you get them rarer. They're rarer.
So lie about your names.
What's up, Andrea?
Nothing much. I just wanted to tell you that there are nightclubs that offer implants for VIP members.
No, there aren't.
Yes, there are. Like in Florida.
Really?
I swear.
They're doing that? Implants?
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't that in the news or something more?
It was on, like, E!
now, are these implants
so
like...
are the people doing the implant dishes?
Like, rather big and on your chest?
No, like in Mexico for the government building.
Because that gets you right into any club. You get a set of 38 Ds, you walk into the VIP section.
Yeah, but they have updates too. Like you have to get upgraded as well.
Oh, really? Do they really?
I'm not kidding.
And you've been to these clubs?
No.
Do you have implants?
I bet they have like monkeys smoking there.
Is this club anywhere outside of Andrea's brain?
No, I'm serious. I saw it on the news, like they have Wild on E, and they have, like, you know, the hot chicks, and they get to walk right in because they have the, it's just one, I think it's one club, this guy in Italy or something.
No, those implants are called breasts. Hot chicks get to walk in because they're hot chicks, not because they have a little grain of rice.
No, she's right. She's right. There's a nightclub in Spain and one in Scotland that I have here online that are mentioning this.
Oh, you got to my co-host, didn't you? You got to him. You sent him, while we were talking, you sent him a Gmail offering him sexual favors if he'd back up your wild crap dream here on the radio.
It's a conspiracy against you. Yes, absolutely.
Meet you later, Andrea.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Andrea. Thanks. That's amazing. Yeah. But, you know, when you say that you have implants get you into club VIP sections, people only think you're talking about breasts. You know, arthritis in both hands. Let's talk to Vaughn. We got time for Vaughn.
Sure we do.
What's up, Vaughn?
Hey, Ken. Michael, how are you all doing today?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
Basically, my comment was, this is basically reality catching up to science fiction. Years ago, they've been talking about this stuff. There was a role-playing game years ago called Cyberpunk, which basically talked all about this.
And also, Neuromancer is all about this as well, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, like I said, it's reality catching up with science fiction, just like, you know, Star Trek with the communicators or now the cell phones.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It's catching up very, very quickly. And I've got to think that before Moxie gets out of high school that there's going to be some sort of implantation of cell phones, like a little chip to pick up your voice in the throat and a little chip in the ear or something, and then some sort of dialing mechanism. It can't be that far away. But thank
I
you.
Want it to be that, you know, that finger thing that everybody does.
Yeah, same thing, but for the finger. You know, you use your finger for that. Side note real quick.
Sure.
Any suggestions on where I can find material on learning to juggle? I can juggle the basic cascade and reverse it. I'm just want to learn advanced juggling techniques. Any ideas?
Go to jasongarfield.com. J-A-S-O-N. JasonGarfield.com. And Jason's got all the stuff there, and there's videos and everything else. And Jason is a monster juggler. So,
really?
Yeah, he really is. And he's got some pretty good, he's got a book out that's really good on how to practice and how to get better that you can pick up. It's like this little spiral bound jive thing, but it's really, really good. A lot of great information. I think I might have written the foreword for it, but I might not. Maybe he didn't use it. I don't know. But thank you so much.
It's real hard. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See, this is the kind of show we have. They call up and request. We have jugglers who want chips in their heads. That's all we're talking about. So there's a VIP thing in Spain, you said?
Yeah, Spain, get back to and Ireland, yeah.
Yeah. And you just walk in with that little chip there. Oh, so this is going to happen really fast. I mean, we're going to sound like real idiots. We already do. But in a year, I mean, this stuff, we're talking about, in 5 or 10 years,
let's not rerun this show.
We'll sound like we're so behind the times.
Here's somebody who writes in that says, if you had the entire Library of Congress in your brain, you'd really be screwed because the Library of Congress contains such a wide range of books that many, many questions would contradict themselves. It would probably kill you.
Well, that's true. But, you know, that's one of the things that that Google is so important. There's a great letter here that kind of ties in with this from a guy named George. Michael and Penn, with the current generation the first to accept fully cosmetic surgery, tattoos, piercings, and other forms of body modification, I feel the time is certainly right for electronic implants. I expect the implanted cell phone with brain impulse dialing the first enhancement in general release, and I expect that will happen in the next 5 years. I really do believe that all this stuff we're doing, the tattooing and all of that, is setting us up for doing some serious body modifications. I have no tattoos. I don't really have any piercings to speak of, but I will be
nothing
first,
intentional.
I'll be first in line when they're actually talking about doing this stuff. This is Penn Jillette with Michael Godeau, and we're wishing Michael Godeau good luck on his 6-hour, 6-minute secret Tour de France ride today. We're out. I hope you're listening to this on a chip in your head sometime in the future.